Thoughts, Love, and Reflection by James T. DeShay. As the morning sun rises above the horizon, I yearn for what was vowed to me years ago. The promises made during the big show. The pledge of love and commitment that were given, while the present nights feel cold and distant. Where are the arms that caressed me so gently in the beginning, but now wrapped strongly around your pillow? As the distance between us increase, the loneliness becomes a byproduct of our future and the destruction of our connection. How do I stop what clearly seems to be the demise of our tomorrows? Where is the love that was so freely given and so greatly embraced? I have no idea the resting place of the joy and happiness that once existed. Where does one reside during these cold and sleepless nights? This is James T. DeShay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're in search of a new way to make your dreams come true and you're tired of living paycheck to paycheck, please call 407-459-4827. That's 407-459-4827. This system will make your dreams come true and put your financial problems behind you. If you enjoy my poetry, please hit the like button and subscribe. Also, visit my website, www.JamesTDeShay2.com. That's www.JamesTDeShay2.com. Please consider purchasing both of my books, Thoughts, Loves, and Reflection, Passion, Desire, and Contemplation. I look forward to you becoming a part of my radio audience.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip-hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1. And it's 24-7, the world's best radio station.
With that message, never better get checked. There ain't no difference second when the king goes sick. For the gal and a chick, fuck around and get quick.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. DeShay is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and Passion, Desire, and Contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. DeShay has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. DeShay. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at JamesTDeShay2.com and Lulu.com. feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
This is James T. J., the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. We had a horrific event take place on Sunday, and as we discussed it on the show on Monday, we came up on a subject that happened that I thought we needed to revisit. And so I asked Reverend Smith to come on to facilitate the discussion, because I think a lot of us have a different way of viewing our morality and not morality, our existence, our mortality. And so I wanted him to talk about what role we play and how long we live and how long we exist. Or is that something already written in stone? And whenever our day or our life comes to an end, then that is our time. On a personal level, I seem to want to believe that we have a bigger, a larger part to play in how long we exist on the earth, and that how we live our life does determine some of the things we get to accomplish. And we have to be mindful of how we put our lives in danger through a lot of different perspective things. So I'm going to give Reverend Smith the opportunity to start the show and start the discussion. And then we're going to allow everybody to either ask questions or give their thoughts related to that. And so we're going to let him run the show in regards to being the person to speak about it because of his, you know, what he's gone through and what his studies are. But everybody will have an opportunity to share their thoughts and opinions. Good evening, Reverend Smith.
Good evening, James. How are you?
I am doing awesome, and I'm looking forward to our discussion because I think this is truly a meaningful discussion about what role we play in our lives and in our own mortality.
Amen. If we take a look at ourselves and we look at how many other people across the nation today and across the world, really, who think they have the answer to all of these questions and they feel like, well, I don't need anyone to tell me this or tell me that, but I don't have all the answers. No one have all the answers. No one but God. We can try and pretend that because we got our master's degree or our doctorate degree or whatever we may have, we may find ourselves lacking in so many ways into the thoughts and ideas and processes of God. God is sovereign, and that's what we fail to understand. God is sovereign. That means he don't need us. We need him. He don't need us for anything. But what he does is that he takes it upon himself. When he chose to create us, he said, I am going to create man in my own image. And God did that. That's why he told his son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, let us go down and make man. And we will make him in our own image, which gave us almost everything. You know, when we are parents, we have children that are an image to us. And that child, but he does not have all that we possess within him. The one thing that we lack is that we are not God. We can't go out and make anyone. Even the children that are born into this earth, they are created through mothers and fathers or through adulterers and others, and they make babies. God who caused them to be born and to live. Don't think you made anything, because God could have destroyed that baby while he was still in your womb. The first thing that I must say is when we look back in Genesis, and we look at how God did all of these things that he did. And when he finished doing these things, he rested. And God said, it is very good. And then God came down in Genesis 6, and this is after God gave man a choice. God has given us a choice. And let us, that's the major thing that we seem to forget. God did not create you to be a puppet. We always like to go to God, why did that happen? Why? No, what did you do as an individual to stop this from happening? Did you become involved with the situation, or did you speak up when you could have spoken up? But did you do anything at all to stop this situation from perpetuating itself into being much greater than it really should have been? Or death was caused from it. So God gave man choices. And when, if we look in Genesis the sixth chapter, God was so displeased because out of all the choices God gave to us, we could even go back to the garden. God gave Adam and Eve a choice. God gave them a choice by telling them that you are not to eat of certain trees, of certain fruit from the garden. What was the first thing that we have a tendency to do when someone tells us not to do something? That is usually the thing we go and do. When James called me about this subject, I thought about it and I started doing more research, and I said, wait a minute, why am I researching this? The only place I can get the answers from is the Bible. Man can't tell me anything about God, because there's still a lot of mysteries about God, even though we want to try to transform him into being what we want to be instead of us transforming to being what he wants us to be. So, if we go to Genesis, the sixth chapter, we'll see where man took his choices that he had, just as we have done today. Man took those choices and began to utilize them in a very strange, messed up way. Until God down upon the earth, as he was already doing, and he said, for the first time, isn't this sad? Now listen to what I'm about to say. God said, I am sorry I bothered to make man. Now that's sad. That's really sad, because God had given us choices of life, death. What he told us what to eat, told us what not to do. We were not even supposed to be eating meat right now. In the beginning, it was only herbs and fruit of the tree. That's what we were supposed to be eating. But we definitely were not supposed to be eating of the tree of life. We're not supposed to be doing that. And of the tree of good and evil. Two trees. A lot of people only like to talk about one, but there are two. Eve decided, with Adam standing right there, I'm not putting it on the woman. He made his choice, and she made her choice. God said, if you eat of those trees, on that day ye shall surely die. The question I used to ask was, wait a minute. They didn't die. They kept living. But listen to me. Let me go on, and I'll tell you something about that. God took and Eve ate of that tree. Adam was standing right there knowing that he had dominion, but he chose not to say anything just like we men do today. When we see something going wrong, we won't hardly say a thing, especially if a woman is doing it, and we feel like, oh, she's pretty, I want to get next to her. So let her do whatever she want to do. You know, but we've got to come to that conclusion of looking at ourselves and saying, we have lost our first love. We have left where we ought to be. So God looked down upon us, and he said, I'm sorry I even bothered to make man. And so God decided from that point that he wanted to destroy the earth. And that was one of the things that James was talking about when we talked. It was like, wait a minute, all of us didn't do anything, but God was angry. The Bible tells us it is sad to fall into the hands of an angry God. You think that we can just keep doing what we're doing and going to where we want to go and saying the things that we want to say and acting the way that we are acting today and expect God, the sovereign God, a God who cannot look upon sin, a God who hates sin, to keep only reason that we are going on now today is because Jesus sat at God's right hand and he's a mediator. And all of you know what mediators are. He keeps God, I think, a lot of times. That's just my analogy. He keeps God throwing us anymore. God said, I'm sorry I bothered to make them. Look at them. They're doing everything in the world that their heart can imagine. I want you all to tell me, aren't we doing that right now? We want to ask, why did this happen? Why did they let those people die? Why did those people die? Why aren't you dead? Huh? You're not dead yet because Jesus came into this world to give you another chance, to give all of us another chance. We're still messing up, but he keeps us from falling to the point that God is saying to some of us, hey, okay, I'll let you go on for a little while longer. The same as he did Hezekiah. When Hezekiah, God told him to go tell Hezekiah that he's going to die. This time tomorrow, he will die. And then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and began to cry and cry out to the Lord. And God looked down upon him and repented of what he had said. He said, okay, I'll give you 15 more years. So you see, God can change his mind too. But we're becoming so evil in this world. We're becoming so educated. We're becoming so caught up with this alphabet soup before and after our names that we want to know more than God. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, God said there would be none even after him as wise as Solomon. Solomon said there's a time and a place for everything, a time to live and a time to die, a time to cry and a time to smile. There's a time for everything. We've taken our lives and we've said, okay, God, I read what you said, but right now I got something else I want to do. And so we have taken a lot of this, and the pastors too, a lot of quote-unquote Christians have done the same thing. They have turned themselves inside out to go against God. And God is not angry sometimes, I believe. This is my belief. I'm telling you like Paul said. Paul said it in Corinthians and other places in the Bible. He said, this is me saying this part and not God. I said to you right now, I said God gives us enough rope to hang ourselves. And sometimes those people that are dying in our place, so that we have an opportunity to try and get it right. Jesus died for you, didn't he? Jesus, you may not be a biblical person, but if you're not, I feel sorry for you. But then again, that's a choice. Again, once again, another choice. And I was telling James when he called, When we talked the other day, if you have your Bible anywhere close to you, I want you to go to Isaiah 57:1, and this will give you a good idea of why God take people off of this earth. I want you to turn to Isaiah 57:1. Even on your phone you ought to have, you should have a Bible on your phone. We've got to learn that God is still in charge here. We're not in charge of anything. God is in charge. All we got to do is continue to live the life that we are living, but try and live it better than what we are living. I was listening a few minutes ago before I came on to James' show. I was listening to MSNBC, and everybody is saying, even with Sandy Hook, and they talked about Sandy Hook, and now they're talking about Southern children that God allowed to die, even the unborn. I want you to listen to what God says. Isaiah 57:1. He said, the righteous, listen to what I'm saying, the righteous, the right living, that's what that is, the right living, the righteous perishes, and no man layeth it to heart, meaning that nobody did anything to them. Nobody made them angry. They didn't do anything to anybody else. But God saw fit in the next wording that he said, you see. But he said this. Listen to what I'm saying. And merciful men are taken away. But here's the reason. None considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil that is to come. God sees so much farther. Well, he sees all much, much farther than we can see. Can you imagine? My mom died at age 74. She might have lived till she got to be 100. My grandmother died at 49. We had this thing in our family for so long about age things. And most of my people died at 49 years old. And my sister and I said, we're going to break that chain through the love and joy of Jesus Christ. And here I am now at the age of 75, and my sister is at the age of 79. So we just didn't believe in that. But what God is trying to say here is he said, I see things that you can't see. All those children that was in Sutherland or Sandy Hook or other place, they might have died more treacherous death if God had allowed them to stay here on this earth until their time. What is their time? Your time is whatever God chooses to give you. That's what your time is. God said in Genesis 6:7 also, that man's days shall be 120 years. I know, I've heard this before. In Psalm, David said, who would you rather listen to was God or David? David said, man, year will be 67 or 70 or something like that. David was talking about something totally different. But we were raised up on the idea that we were only supposed to live 70 years. But God told Noah, when they had the flood, he said, man's days shall be 120 years. Read it for yourself. Read it for yourself. So when our time is cut, I don't consider it being cut short. A lot of people say, well, my time was cut shorter. Now, his time, that child shouldn't have died. But who are you to tell God who's supposed to die and who's supposed to live? We know for a fact, take ourselves, we do some really weird things. Even children can't do weird things because they're not in that age bracket yet. But God don't want children to suffer. He said, suffer little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. God wants you to hold on to what he gives you. And he wants the little children to not suffer the things that we, our old behinds, have suffered. So he'll take them out of the world. These kids might have been eaten. They might have been cut up. They might have been in a car accident where they were totally messed up. All kind of things could have happened to them. All kind of things. I remember when I was working undercover in a large city in this state, and I'm sitting at the table. I'm sitting at the table, and here this man, this drug dealer that I was trying to get close to, he's sitting at the table with me eating, and he kept asking his wife, where's Johnny? That's not his name, but that's what, where is Johnny? And that was their six-month-old baby. That was a six-month-old baby. And come to find out, this junkie woman had cooked that child, and she was feeding him to her husband. I'm sitting there, praise God, hallelujah. And I live with that every day of my life, and I see it. But I still don't ask God, why did you do something, God? No. Why didn't the father and the woman do something? The child had no choice. The child didn't have a choice. The woman and the man will pay for what they've done. Time, we've got to stop. We've got to stop asking these questions. Stop allowing the scientific community and education to have us to ask God, because he tells us not to entertain foolish questions. It's okay about discussing them. Nothing wrong with these discussions. I love these discussions because it gives me an opportunity, and I thank James for it. It gives me an opportunity to teach, not to show you my education. I don't have it. Yeah, God forgive me. Yes, I do. But I don't have that kind of education that I didn't get from God. I could throw everything else out the window as long as it came from God. But my thing is this. When is your time? Your time is whenever God chooses it to be. Remember what I said in 57 and 1. And this is what kept me going for so many years. When my mother and my wife died back to back, this is what kept me going. I had two heart attacks. I thought I couldn't make it, but I was on my way to church one day, and the William brother started singing a song, and this verse was in there. And it said the same thing. The righteous perishes, but no man layeth it to the heart. And merciful men are taken. They're taken. Good people is what it said. Good people are taken away. None consider that the righteous is taken away from the evil that is to come. These children might have grown up and been in a time when nuclear war and all of their skin would be peeled off during nuclear time. All kind of situations could have happened. They could have been molested, some of them. All kind of different situations could have happened. And even the older ones, we never know when God, even me, you, I don't care what we are, your warrant is already laid out. God will sign that warrant when he gets ready, and the angels will be the one to hand it to you. And like the deputy do, the process server, they will hand it to you. all I can say on this subject is about when is your time? Your time, my friend, is whenever God says it's your time. I don't care if you're born and still in the womb or whether you're 200 years old. But if you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. The 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. I'm not sitting here telling you I know great thou art. I mess up so much sometimes I get scared myself. But at least I try.
Reverend Smith, let me ask you this, and I always preference my thoughts or understanding of the Bible by the fact that, you know, I've been in a believer for a long time, and I remember certain things, but we are told that your life can be extended. You honor your father and your mother so your life can be extended on this earth. And that extension is because of your willingness to honor your mother and your father. And I try to tell people, my belief is when you live your life in a certain way and honor certain rules, universal rules, your life can be extended by the way you live your life. If you choose to stay and drink liquor every day of your life, there's some people who live a long time who are alcoholics, and then there's some that don't. And there's some people who live a very violent life who live a long time, and there's some that don't. But there are universal rules based on how we live our lives that will allow us the opportunity to possibly live longer than we would have if we've made other choices. So when we say that there's a given time written already, I'm just assuming just because of the way he said it, when he said, if you honor your father and your mother, your days will be long, there are ways to extend your life beyond that may because of the choices you make. And so I guess that's my stance, and other people have other stances, and we want them to have the opportunity to share that. But based on how you live your life can determine how long you live your life.
No. Honor thy father and thy mother that thy days may be long. It didn't say extend. It said that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Whenever that real time comes, James, I myself, not saying you're wrong because I can't tell you you're wrong. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. Now, I myself believe that I don't believe that you can shorten or extend your time unless God chooses to allow you to extend that time. Okay? Because Hezekiah wasn't going to be able to extend anything. But God said, I will forgive Hezekiah for 15 more years. And then God came after the 15 years and took him away. So you have an opportunity for right or wrong. You have an opportunity, I think, that God, because it says that God wished that none should perish, that all should come to repentance. Now, I do believe that God gives us that opportunity. When we live to be a certain age, don't you think we've had an opportunity? I did. You did. We all have had opportunities. What are we doing with the opportunity? That's what, to me, what God goes by. What have you done? And that's what the parables that Jesus talked about in the book, in this gospel. What have you done with what I've given you? What have you done? And he said, those who haven't done anything, I'll take it from you and give it to some of those who've done something worthy. So that's the way I look at it.
Okay. All right. Tyrone, what are your thoughts, and what would you like to share? Do you have a question?
Well, first of all, yeah. First of all, thank you, Reverend Smith, for being on the show tonight, and I'm really enjoying it. I do know that many times the Bible is based upon our interpretations, and I truly believe that our lives are scripted. That even before the foundation of the world, God knew what your life was going to be. He knows what you're going to experience. And so
yes.
I believe our lives are already scripted. God already knows. He knows we're going to leave this world. And another thing, you had mentioned about the 120 years. That's an interpretation. The 120 years, because we know that Noah and Abraham and Sarah and them, they lived hundreds of years. And there are people in history now who've lived past 120 years. But that was a prophecy. And that prophecy was based upon the flood, when it thought the flood was going to occur. That was what that 120 years was about. I am fairly new. I've been studying the Bible for about 5 years, and there's so much that I don't know, and I'm just blown away and amazed every day as I study the Bible, because the Holy Spirit gives you, He allows you to be able to interpret and to see things that you're not able to see or you didn't see, and it, you know, it's like receiving revelations every day. So I thank you and I honor you for coming on and breaking this down. And what's going on in the world today? It's in the Bible. It's already in the Bible. The Bible tells you. The Bible tells you the things that's going to happen, and maybe it doesn't look exactly the way you read it, but it tells you the perilous times that we're going to go through, and a lot of things that's going to happen. It is not an accident that Donald Trump was
no,
elected.
It's not.
There's a purpose for that,
right.
And it's time for us to get our lives together, really, because we're in some tough times. As I was looking at him today, I looked at the CNN for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes. It looks like Mr. Trump is trying to go into war, take us into war.
Yeah.
And this man is so unscrupulous that this war could possibly save him from going to jail. Because if you start a war, now, we don't have time to be talking about legality or what's going on with him and who he had affairs with or who he met with or his children, whatever. That war, I mean, first of all, so many people will be killed. We don't know what's going to happen. And so all I say, it's time to get right. It's time to get into your word. And I do know one other thing, that the word of God is the solution to all problems. The word of God. It's important that we get into the word of God and begin to understand. And the Bible could be very complicated for you to understand, but that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. You ask the Holy Spirit for guidance and direction and revelation. And when you do ask the Holy Spirit, I mean, things open up for you. I mean, sometimes I'm reading my Bible, I just jump up and want to run because I've been trying to figure out, well, how did this happen? Or how did that occur? And all of a sudden, you get revelation out. Understanding,
right.
You get wisdom.
Right.
Yes. So thank you so much, Reverend Smith.
Thank you, Tyler.
All right. Joyce, what is your thoughts? And or do you have a question for Reverend Smith? Are you there, Joyce? Dee, do you have a question or a statement you'd like to make?
Yes, sir, I surely do. Hello, everybody. And Pastor Smith, it is an honor, sir. It's an honor and it's a newly acclaimed honor to have you on the show. I was not sure how I was going to receive you, sir, and I apologize for saying that. Only because everybody's opinion and everybody's knowledge of the Bible and Scripture and their interpretation are different. But let me say this to you. I'm sure that you have a church in the congregation, but at age of 75 that you are, I don't know if you have a radio show or not, but you are certainly deserving of having your own podcast, because the way that you articulated and laid out the understanding of what life is and God's purpose and our role in life has really made some clarity for me. Let me say this in conjunction to what you said. And you know, when these people were sacrificed, my thoughts are that it gave us, like you said in your opening statement, it gave us the opportunity to reevaluate our place here in life. To where Jane felt some kind of obligation, or what the spirit came over James in order to inquire what it is for our purpose here in life. In that he sought you to come out and better give us an understanding to where we are now. So that sacrifice that was made through the will of God is to help us better understand what our purpose is currently, right now, going forward.
Amen. Amen.
I have posed the question on this show right here. If we were in the midst of nuclear war, and if God saw fit to change his mind right at the blink of war, would mankind change? Would mankind change? I even think that the Donald Trump presidency is just that sort of eye opener. What you could get is this right here. But even at this circumstance, is this enough to make us change the way we are? So, excuse me for being long-winded, but I just want to say that I really appreciate you, sir. And, James, I appreciate you for bringing Pastor Smith on, and it's really an honor to talk to you. Thanks a lot.
All right. Kathy, you have a question or a statement you'd like to make? Go ahead, Reverend Smith.
No, I'd just like to say and thank Dee, and I'd like to thank Tyrone for those revelations that were given to them by God, not by man. And it is good to, I'm just a down-to-earth person. Doesn't matter to me about how much smarts I got and all that kind of stuff. That's man's education. And it has helped me to get through life and get me to the point that I am today. But when it comes down to righteousness and right living and love of God and people, it comes from God. And everything, like Tyrone said, everything that you want to know or you got an idea or thought about, it is right here in the Word of God. You don't have to go try to find no books by T.D. Jakes, Creflo Dollar, any of these other people. Go to the Bible for yourself. Go to the Bible for yourself. So many people are reading, and what they're not telling you is that a lot of the times when we read these books, that is our interpretation. But the Bible is not subject to any one man's interpretation. Okay? So thank you, Tyrone, and thank you, Dee, for what you're saying. God bless you.
Kathy, any statement or question you have for Reverend Smith?
Good afternoon. I just want to say thank you, Pastor, because you have laid everything out. I mean, I totally agree with what you said, and the Bible is where you are supposed to go for whatever information you are seeking.
Amen.
And even as Tyrone stated, that when you pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give you revelation, He will open your eyes so that you can know exactly what it is he wants you to know concerning this word. And as Dee talked about the Holy Spirit, it is the Holy Spirit that gives us that revelation. And he moves all the time. When we act, he moves right then and there. So I am ecstatic, you know, about the way that you are delivering this message. It is clear and simple, and it is the word of God. So thank you so much, and I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, my dear. Thank you, and God bless you. And continue, because what people fail to do is nowadays, when we get in the pulpit as pastors, we're trying to, unfortunately, we've lost our way. I'm just going to be frank about it, really. A lot of us, not all, because there's a lot of good pastors out here, but a lot of the pastors have lost their way. They don't want to tell, say, James, look here, you need to stop what you're doing. Because if you don't stop what you're doing, God's not going to look favorably upon you, and you might not make it to next year. And see, that's what a lot of people fail to understand. God will give you many signs in telling you himself, look, that's enough, that's enough, that's enough. But when we keep going, God takes his hand away from us. And that's when, James, that's when it comes in, when a lot of things start happening to the point that we start wondering what's going on. But God removed his hand from us. That's what happened with Trump going into the White House. We, out of the schools, we took prayer out of the city meetings and the government and everywhere. If they could, they would take that in God we trust off the money. They were trying to do that at one time. But if God has gotten to the point, he said, okay, you all don't want me anymore. You don't need me anymore. That's what you're trying to tell me? So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the king, like Israelites said, like the Israelites did with God. God said, I'm going to give you the king you want. You want a fool, I'm going to give you a fool. Okay? But here's what's going to happen. Look in 1 Samuel the 6th chapter, and you'll see where God told the Israelites, you want a king? Here. Here's Saul. Here's Saul. And okay, now you got Saul, and here's what Saul is going to do to you. Saul is going to take your children. He's going to have them running in front of his chariots. He's going to have them fighting wars. They're going to be destroying this, and they're going to be doing that. And when it's all wind up and said and done, you are not going to have children. And Saul did the same thing, but God brought in his own man because God remembered what he had said to Noah. He said, I will never let one man or one a bunch of people destroy everybody all at one time anymore. So God brought in David that every time an idiot like Saul or Trump get upset, they went to playing the music. So that it will calm him. Because you know that's where we get the saying, music calms the terrible soul. Okay? So that's what we've got to realize. Everything, like Tyrone said, everything that's going on now has been predicted by God that it is going to happen. Everything. Y'all can ignore it if you want to. Nobody can't tell you what to do. All we can do, all some of us, and I'm just a down-to-earth person. I just tell you straight up. I ain't sugarcoating nothing. And don't tell me about being grammatically correct and all that because I know how to talk. But I said, I ain't telling you nothing. Pick that Bible up. Read it for yourself. How would you feel? Answer this question, then I'm going to turn it back over to James. How would you feel? If, like James, have written several books, and sometime he'll say, did you read my book? And you'll say, well, James, I didn't buy it yet. Or, yeah, I read your book. How are you going to feel when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ and God asks you, did you read my book? How do you think he's going to feel when you tell him, no, I didn't get around to it?
All right. We have... We have 4276. 4276, give us your name and where you're calling from. Okay, 8411. 8411, give us your name and where you're calling from.
This is Jackie. I'm calling from Winter Haven, Florida. I've been listening to Pastor Smith, and everything that's been said on the line tonight has really been nothing but the truth. I like what Tyrone said, Dee said, and Kathy said. I wish we could echo this out so everyone can hear that a discussion that has been done. We're all have not given up. We're all still leaning and trusting on the Lord, and that the only way that we can get through all of this is carrying the word with us and understanding it and using it. I like the analogy that Pastor Smith used about James' book. You know, if I talk to James and he asks me some questions about his book, if I haven't read it, I won't be able to know what he's talking about. And it's just so similar to, what do you really know when you're reading that Bible? What are you getting from it? Are you getting wisdom, understanding, and knowledge? So I'm really glad to be here tonight to hear this conversation, and I appreciate Pastor Smith for being so open and honest.
All right. Cheryl, what is your thoughts on? Do you have a question for Reverend Smith?
Good evening, everyone. Pastor Smith, I'm so glad that you took this opportunity to be on the show tonight, because you are definitely delivering and preaching. And that's so important that we be taught the word, because just like Dee mentioned, you know, that we interpret things so differently, but
when
the truth is spoken, we know it. And the Holy Spirit speaks to us at the time that is right for us to know, you know, exactly what it is that he wants us to know. And, I mean, I'm really enjoying, you know, because I love it when the truth is being told. You know, I don't mind, ouch, I don't have to have amen all the time, you
amen.
Know, because we get so comfortable with amen that we forget about how we are actually cleansed and molded and shaped. But this teaching right here is doing all of that, and I just wish that more people were on here tonight to be able to hear this. And you're so true. You know, correct when it says what the word is used for. It's our instructions for everything that we need to know. And everything that we do should line up with the word. I am just truly, truly enjoying everything that you are teaching tonight. And thank you.
Praise God. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
All right. Regina, do you have any questions or statements you'd like to make to Reverend Smith?
Yes. Good evening. I started last night. I text James and let him know that I'm in class tonight. But I started my journey towards knowledge and understanding the Bible. I started taking theology classes last night. And the first class that I took, that I'm taking, is the Old Testament. The next class is systematic theology. The class I wanted to be in, but I don't have enough time, is, and Pastor, please correct me because I'm thinking I'm mispronouncing it, apologetics.
Not apologetics. I'm thinking on what you're. I know I see the word,
it's the class that teaches me how to defend my belief.
Yes, but it's not apologetic. It's not apologetic. I know exactly what you're.
Well, I can't take that class just right now, but I'm saying that to say it's so important that we know the word. And last night validated me going, because Sunday a preacher from out of town was invited himself back to our church, and he said he was coming in for five days, and he was going to preach on this one day, this on another day. Then he said, and we're going to preach on homosexuality. And everybody's spirit was so high that people were like, yeah, amen, amen. But what they didn't hear him say was, oh, yes, there is a place for that in the church. And I heard it because I was sitting in the back kind of overlooking things. Then when we got into class last night and I started learning that everything that we need to know about life is in the Bible.
Yes.
And the truths are in the Bible.
Yeah.
And when I started thinking about that, that let me know that's how snake oil salesmen get around, because people don't read to know the truth. And the spirit gets so high, and people just start taking in and believing anything that's said. And so I'm so glad what I've heard you say tonight lines up with what I have been learning. And that is interesting. Whenever you hear the same truth, regardless of whether you're on the East Coast or the West Coast, it's the truth.
That's it. That's right.
So I thank you. Right. I thank you. I thank you. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Let me say this before you go. There's so many things. If you're getting ready to take theology, and for any of you out there right now, if you don't know the first 11 chapters of the Bible, you can forget it.
That's what we were taught.
You must know where you came from in order to know where you're going. Okay? So, you know, like a lot of people think that the animals went on to the ark two by two. They didn't go on there two by two. The Bible tells us that they went on two by two of all unclean animals. And there was on by sevens for clean animals. Because if they only went on two by two and they were clean animals that were going to be sacrificed while the ark was on water, then there would not have been any of those animals when the ark set on dry ground. So God made sure that Noah took them on there seven by seven. So remember that. And there's so many, a lot of people still think that God cursed man. God did not curse man. God cursed the ground for man's sake. You know, so you must know where you're going in order to know where you came from in order to know where you're going. The first 11 chapters of this Bible will tell you, where tongues even came from. Tongues came from the Tower of Babel.
I'm learning.
That's it. So we need to go back and read your Bible from the first chapter of Genesis all the way to the 11th chapter, and then move on to where else you want to go. I would tell you, when you leave the 11th, go on to John, the book of John, the Gospel of John. And from John, go on through the epistles and then come back to Matthew. But the choice then is to be led by the Holy Spirit. Okay?
I wanted
to get that. Let the Holy Spirit lead you and you won't go wrong. Amen.
All right. Reverend Swift, I don't want to be the disobedient child or the hard to learn child. I want to be open to you, okay? And so I brought you on today because I really wanted you to talk to these people who've been trying to make me think otherwise. But I want to revisit something, and I only want to revisit it because I just want to. You know, I just got this stuck in my craw about, you know, you and I both have spent time with people who locked up. And they always saying, well, I ain't worried about dying because I'm gonna die young anyway. I'm not afraid of death. And see, and I'm trying to say, you know, the reason you're going to die young is because of the way you're living, and that people make choices. That man who went into that church made a choice. And he made a choice up until the time he fired that first bullet. And our choices have impact on other people's lives. And so when I suggest that how we live our lives have an impact on the quality of life and the existence of our life, I just want to believe that we have some responsibility in how long we live. One of the things I say is I'm not going to a place where people are always shooting or killing people. Why should I subject myself to that environment when there's so many places that nobody is being killed at? And so I want to believe that God gives us the ability to make choices. He, like you said, he doesn't treat us like puppets. And that the way we live our lives each and every day has some correlation to the quality and longevity of our lives. So now, I don't want to be, you know, I fought with people because they telling me at the moment you're born, the day has already been chosen. But there's a lot of life from infancy to adulthood. And how you behave or how you live has to have some kind of impact on how long you hang around here.
Well, from the day that you're born until the day that you die, there is not. God knows all about all of that. Everything that you're going to do, he would not be a sovereign God if he didn't know. Before you even enter into this world, before you leave your mother's womb, before you even thought of, he said, you know, I'm going to let Leslie and Claude have a son named Giles. Yeah, Giles Smith. That's right. You know, and so later on down the years, he allowed me to be born. Okay? So we are impacted by the things of this world. And we make choices, James. We make choices. And that's why me, myself, being an undercover officer for 18 years, there are certain things I know I ought not to do in order to keep myself safe. There are certain places I ought not to go. God gave us choices and common sense. So now if you're going to just say, well, I don't care, I got God, I'm Jesus, my death warrant has not been signed, I'm going to stand out in the middle of Interstate 10, wreck that truck. That truck going to wreck before it get to me. You fool. It ain't going to happen. You are dead. Okay? And now you want to blame God. So I said, well, I told you before you even went out there, you were going to die. Okay? So God will warn us. Even when we don't, most of the time, we're not listening to the warnings. We're not listening to the warning. Have you ever got in your car and decided, well, I don't know, I think I'll turn around and go back to the house. I don't feel like going this time. Okay, I've done that many times. And I get back to the house and then I hear on television, they had an accident on 417 because I'd be going to my hometown. And I said, see, I could have been in that particular spot. You ever heard of the Skyway Bridge? I decided there was a showing going over in Sarasota of a movie that I did a score for. And they told me that they was going to have the showing. And that morning, something told me, Giles, stay home. Get back in your bed and get you some rest. That's when that Skyway fell. The ship hit the Skyway. So we've got to learn to listen to the small, still voice. Children, they can't hear it. So we are the ones that's being blamed by God. Now, you can take this for righteousness if you want to, or you can take it as a bunch of junk if you want to. But don't you know a child is not responsible for himself? You are going to be responsible for wherever danger you put that child in. If you don't believe that, read your word. Read your word. The Bible tells us, first of all, train a child up in the way that he should go. And when he gets old, he shall not. No, James, you're okay. It's okay to question the fact that you can shorten or extend your life by doing and being in the wrong place and doing the wrong thing. Nobody is going to let you stab them. They're going to shoot you first. Was it God's choice? No. Did he allow it to happen? Yes. You see, there's a difference between a choice and things being allowed by God to happen. That's how we get things twisted and messed up. God allowed this man to shoot up that church out there. Why? I don't have the slightest idea. I ain't going to sit here and speculate and talk about what the Bible. No, I have no idea. Until the Spirit give it to me or give it to someone else. But the people are not going. They're going to speculate about his mentality and all this. James, you are not wrong when you say that these things do happen that way, according to what God. Don't ever forget that word. What God allows and he doesn't allow. Okay? That's what it's
all right
about.
Okay, we're going to take a short break and we're going to come back since we have such a full house to allow everybody to have a final thought.
Amen.
Jesus.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We're here so that your voice can be heard loud and clear without interruption. Cheryl, what is your final thought for this evening? Cheryl?
I'm sorry, I couldn't take myself off of you. I just want to say that I truly enjoyed this show tonight.
All right. Tyrone, your final thought for this evening?
Yes, I too would really we need to do more of this and talk about the Word of God. Most people don't know anything about the Word of God. We need to be about the business of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And in the book of Proverbs 24:3-4, it talks about wisdom, it talks about knowledge, it talks about understanding, and it puts it together. It does an analogy of like building a house or building a family. I think the young lady was trying to say apostolic. I don't know if that's the correct word or not, but I think that's she was trying to say apostolic. But there was a question. I have a son who he's an engineer, and he's been an engineer probably about 10, 15 years. I don't know. But anyway, he said to me one day, "Man, you studying the white man's Bible. You studying the white man's Bible." And it's like, you know, I said, the Word of God tells me a question like, you're a fool. You really are a fool. Why is it that young people, how is it that they've gotten to the point where they think it could be the white man's Bible?
I agree. Yeah.
Yes. Here's another thing real quick. This is something that kind of, I walk into people's homes because, you know, many times I'm in people's homes. And I see this picture of Jesus, and it just does something to me. And it really does something to me because it's a depiction of somebody's interpretation of Jesus. And if you notice, he's a white man with long hair. But that's just a depiction. That's just an interpretation. It's King James who commissioned.
Right.
Michelangelo to paint that picture. So Jesus is not a white man with long hair. So I don't know. Maybe some of y'all need to start taking those pictures down because that's just a depiction that we're serving a white God. Anyway, let me shut up. Yeah.
All right, Joyce, are you there? Are you there, Joyce?
Yes, I am. I would like to thank you so much. I enjoyed listening to everything this evening. My phone was trying to charge up. But I really like to thank you for the way that you explained the tragedy that happened in the church on Sunday, because I was struggling with that as to so many innocent people. But when you look at it, and what I think that what you have indicated and what I've gotten out of it, that sometimes God only takes the best.
That's it. There you go. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you. Because I got it today. I had been struggling for the last couple of days, but from the way that you explained it to me, that I come to realize that sometimes He only takes the best.
There you go.
All right. Kathy, your final thoughts for this evening?
Great show. Thank you.
All right. I appreciate you being here, Kathy. You know it's always important. I just enjoy it when I see you, see your number on the board. All right. 8411. What are your final thoughts?
I've enjoyed everything tonight.
and I, the lady that just spoke, it was, and she was talking about having a better understanding. And me too. I was saddened about another, And when I heard Dr. Smith say that, all of the best. And I've heard people say, well, you know, when they take a family member, well, they took the best. And that kind of just embedded in me tonight. And I want to thank Pastor Smith for bringing that scripture to us and put it in before our eyes. I enjoyed tonight everyone's input. It's been really a marvelous discussion. Thank you.
All right. Reverend Smith, I just had to tell you, we came together and you know, like people say that it was meant to be, and I reached out to you and you reached out to me, and it's a wonderful thing to have you to be so willing to come on periodically and share your thoughts with our audience and with people beyond us, and it's just nice to know that you're there prepared to do the right thing related to who we are. And just your final words for this evening.
Well, I'd just like to thank you also, James, for you even inviting me to the show. I'd like to thank tonight, and I pray to God, and I'm pretty sure that it has happened because the Spirit has allowed me to feel it, that you enjoyed what was spoken. You may not agree with everything I said, but there's going to be some times that I don't care who it is, you're not going to agree. But we disagree to agree. And if you look in the Word of God, if you give it enough time, God will show you the truth. God will show you the truth, like Tyrone was saying, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And it's all there. It's all there. It's not going anywhere. It's going to be there. I don't know how much longer. I don't know how much longer God's going to put up with our foolishness and nonsense. And I look back at what Tyrone's son was saying about black and white. Only thing I really ever look at, Tyrone, is the one thing, is God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. I don't care what color they are. I don't care what they're doing or what they're not doing. I just know that he brought me from a mighty long ways. And I just want to thank him for that. And you're right about the long hair. You're right about the feet that look like bronze. You're right about the hair that looks like wool. But I'm not going to get myself caught up in that. And I don't have white Jesus is in my house either. You know, but... And I didn't have them in my church. So, but the thing of it is that we got such a larger picture to look at, a larger picture. And that picture is the joy of reaching him one day and standing before him and hearing him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Because you're black? No. Because you're Baptist? No. Because you're Methodist? No. But well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what he's going to say. And that's all I'm waiting to hear. I'm saying to all of you tonight, God bless you and thank you so much for listening and for being here.
Well, thank you, Reverend Smith, because I know that you're always open. Every time I call on you, and I want you to know that anytime you're led to want to use my show as your platform to share some information, know that I'm open to you as well. People, this is a show where we have to gain understanding of all kinds of different things and make decisions about all kinds of things and where we're going as a person, as individuals, where we're going as a community, where we're going as a city, where we're going as a state, and where we're going as a nation and a world. This world has to be impacted by us as individuals. We individually have to come together and galvanize ourselves to try to make a difference. And if we remain quiet, then those who are directing us in the wrong direction will not feel the force of our connection. And so we need to be ready and prepared. And that's what this show is about, Reverend Smith. It was us being ready and prepared to make a difference.
That's it. And you will never be ready and prepared.
All right, I just want to continue to thank you all for your support. We'll be here tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, ready to talk about the things that impact our lives today and tomorrow. Take care, everybody, and I'll see you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection.
Hello. I'm the music major. My man Jay on Gray. He got a question to ask. Talk to him, Jay.
Is there anybody in love?
Oh,